Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. That's Colombo Chronicles Live, and you're listening to the Rose Colombo.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. It's Wednesday, November 20th. We're getting close to Thanksgiving, and we have so much to be grateful for. And that's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you're looking forward to it as well. Family gets together, friends get together, and everybody's just warm and cozy, it seems like. And there's lots and lots of giving, too. So if people don't have a place to go, the churches and there's community places that offer food and Thanksgiving dinner and missions, and many, many volunteers. And we thank those volunteers. And I hope you donate to some of those missions and shelters and churches that do provide Thanksgiving dinner for people who maybe don't have any family members or friends that are in their surrounding area. But we do wish and pray for everyone to have a very blessed and a very happy Thanksgiving coming up very soon now. And on the West Coast here in the good old USA, we had some thunder and lightning last night and a little bit of rain. And then we had more rain this morning. But it appears to be clearing up and the skies are turning blue and the clouds are turning from gray to white. So it washes away all the pollutants in the air, which is really nice when you go outside and you can breathe the fresh air. And oxygen, of course, is good for everyone. Breathe deep and then let go and have a great day. And the buzz is all about the United States Congress, the Democrats versus the Republicans. Everybody's watching and listening and hoping for it to end soon. That is the topic on the internet, it appears, and on MSM and cable TV. However, today we aren't going to be talking in the first part of the show about the impeachment. We're going to be talking about something more pleasant. And something warm and fuzzy, and something that you can put your arms around and give a big hug, and they'll give you a big hug back. And that is going to be on our first part of our show, Colombo Chronicles, in the world of authors and experts. And today we're excited because we're going to have a very special author and an expert. And her name is Marion Zola, and she has an uplifting message for animal lovers and people who are thinking about getting an animal, and especially dog lovers. Marion Zola's first love was dogs and poetry. She ended up a screen and book writer and an occasional producer. Her most current projects are Shelter Me, a PBS series on the great value of shelter dogs, and the book, Romancing the Dog, The Struggle to Make a pound dog, Happy, in Beverly Hills. And I assume we want to make dogs happy everywhere. So that's going to be very exciting to talk to Marian Zola about her latest book, Hot Off the Press, and Romancing the Dog. And afterwards, we'll be entering into the world of political commentary on the issues of the day. And believe me, there are plenty of issues, and it's getting more difficult to figure out which issue to talk about because they all seem important, right? So true. So on that note, we'll get ready to enter first into the world of authors and experts right here on Columbo Chronicles Live. We'll take a little break, and we'll be right back, so don't touch that dial. Stay tuned.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right, everyone. Listen up, because we're now entering into the world of authors and experts with our very special guest, Marian Zola. And she has just won an award, an Irwin Literary Award, in fact, from the Book Publicists of Southern California for Best Memoir of the Year. And she's always been a writer and an animal lover, like many, many people around the world, and especially in the good old USA. Her first writing was poetry until she began writing screenplays. Eventually, she wrote her first book, All the Good Ones Are Married. And boy, do the single women and young girls feel that, don't they? Heard that many, many times and still do today. And that became a lifetime movie, and we want to congratulate her on that. And along the way, she began producing, and she has just published her second book, Hot Off the Press, Romancing the Dog, The Struggle to Make a Pound Dog Happy in Beverly Hills. So let's welcome Marian Zola and say hello. Hi, Marian. How are you doing today?
Hi, Rose. Just fine, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome, and welcome to Columbo Chronicles. And
Thank you.
Like we're going to have a little rain, but, you know, that's a good thing. So
Yes. Tell
us a little bit about yourself, Marian.
Well, I came to L.A. with a film deal many years ago and started writing television. My first credit was on All in the Family. And I decided, well, if I'm going to be doing this, I better move here. So I moved from New York, and I got involved writing screenplays and some television, And then I decided to write All the Good Ones Are Married because I kept running into people who either were involved with married men or who had a husband who had had an affair or something like that. So I decided to do interviews with people who'd been involved with one part of that triangle or another. And I basically interviewed people for 5 years who either had had an affair, if they were the men, or were the women involved with them, or the wives of the women involved with them. And it was so interesting, the material, because nobody was identified by name, so they felt very free to talk. And they weren't described in any identifiable way. So every word in the book is verbatim what they said to me. And it was fascinating. My impression since then is that infidelity isn't quite as widespread today as it was when I published the book. There seems to be more of an emphasis on monogamy than there was at that time.
Well, that sounds like good news for the family unit, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So what made you write your second book here, Romancing the Dog, which is an interesting title since, you know, the good men are all taken. So,
right.
So now we're
you
to
might
romancing
as well get a
the
dog.
Dog.
Right. Well, the second book was really my obituary to Chips, my beloved dog. We had the privilege of sharing his life for 12 years. We got him when he was about 2. And, of course, he was adopted, so that was imprecise. But we had so many adventures with him, and our lives were so affected by that relationship. And he was such a special dog, as so many people feel about their own dogs. I wanted to just explain for myself and for anyone interested, why and how this dog affected our lives, and to show how special he was. And people seemed to enjoy the story, so I was glad I did it. And it doesn't take place just in Beverly Hills. There's as much material on Carmel, California, which is up the coast in Central California. But
yes,
the title would have been too long.
I think that most of us can relate to having a dog when we were at least children, which we did.
Right.
My dad found a little dog, and he was just a few weeks old, and he brought him home. He was stray, and we ended up raising him for years. And he became part of the family, basically. And
yes,
we were sad we'd go out there and talk to our dog.
Right, right.
So
talking to the dog is a great way to communicate.
Yes, they seem to really understand.
They do. They get from the tone what your intent is.
Yes, and so why do you think adopting a dog is the best way to go?
Well, first of all, I'm very involved with animal rescue, and I co-produce a show on shelter dogs called Shelter Me, which streams on ShelterMe.tv and also is on PBS here and there. Adopting a dog is such a great thing because, number one, you save a life. What better feeling can you have than saving a life? These dogs seem to understand that you're going to do something better for them than they had before. You're saving a life. You're getting a dog that's grateful. They're easier because most of them are already trained. They've been owned by someone before in most cases. And also, and this is very important, it's a shorter commitment. People think they want puppies, then they get them, and they see how much trouble it is to have a puppy. First of all, you have the housebreaking. You have to spend a tremendous amount of time with the dog at the beginning. because they don't know anything about what they're expected to do. And it's a very long commitment. It's an approximate 15-year commitment. And a lot of people are not in the same place that they were when they adopted the dog 10 or 15 years later. The kids have lost interest. The parents don't have time. There are so many factors, and that's why so many dogs end up in the shelter. People thought they wanted the dog, but they didn't make the proper commitment. It takes a big commitment to have a dog for 15 years.
Yes, and, it does. And even, you know, I mean, if you're going on vacation or, you know, nobody's going
to
be home. Exactly. You have to be totally committed, like you said.
Yes. It's a big commitment to be a good owner or guardian.
I believe that. Yes. And, I mean, I can relate to my daughter's dog. His name's Ralph, and he's like a big teddy bear. He's got lots and lots of fur, and he's big, but he's as gentle as a lamb.
He has long legs, right?
Yeah. It's the funniest thing ever. Lick you to death. So how can a dog enhance your life, anybody's life, because of different ages?
Well, besides unconditional love, you have someone always happy to see you, always ready to play or just give kisses and loves, and they adapt to your lifestyle amazingly well. Dogs are so people-oriented, and they've been adapted to so many different lifestyles that it does enhance your life. You also make many more social connections, which we all know now these days is the most important thing for mental health, or one of the most important things, is to emphasize social connections. Even in articles telling you how to prevent dementia, they talk about the importance of social connections. You walk down the street with a nice dog, you're going to meet people. It just happens. Not just people with other dogs, but people in general.
If you go to Fashion Island in Newport Beach, all the guys bring their dogs, you know, and all the women talk to them.
Very smart. I've had guys even offer to rent the dog in order to meet some girl. I think a lot of guys are catching on to the fact that most women are crazy about dogs, and they're going to meet more girls if they have a nice dog on the leash than if they don't.
I think so. I believe that. I can see
it
with my own eyes.
Also, absolutely. In reverse, you know, if a woman is walking a nice dog, she might meet a nice guy.
Well, it's a good point of conversation for someone to come up and talk to you, too.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. They don't have to say, you come here often. They can say, what kind of a dog is that?
Exactly.
And it happened to us so many times.
Yes, and people, you know, my dad, he passed in 2017, but his dog was everything. Oh, thank you. I miss him. His dog was everything to him, Charlie. And, boy, I promised I would make sure Charlie got a good home because I couldn't take him at the time. And we were fortunate to find a really good, loving family for the dog. But that was one of his big concerns, that Charlie would be in a loving home, you know.
And that's another good reason not to get a puppy, because if especially an older person is, you know, better off with a dog that's not young, because if they pass away before the dog does, it's very sad for the dog. And there are a few groups, one of which we got our second dog from, called Peace of Mind Dog Rescue in Pacific Grove, California. They take dogs from people who pass away who have no one to leave them to, or that they're too sick to take care of them anymore. They will take the dog. They have
Animal cemetery near us, not too far from us, and there's more flowers there than there are across the street where the humans are buried.
Isn't that
amazing?
Something? people.
Yes, I mean, it's totally a true story.
Yes. And therefore, you know, if an older person gets an older dog, they're more likely to be around when the dog passes away, which is more ideal. It's better to have us outlive them than them outlive us.
Yes, and my stepmom was in assisted living, and we took Charlie on a leash because my dad didn't want to go leave Charlie home. And we went to the assisted living, and I thought, oh, they're going to get so upset with us for bringing the dog, you know. And the dog got loose and was running into the rooms. And I'm telling you that everybody was so excited, the nurses, the patients.
Isn't that
something?
Oh,
my gosh. They just came alive off their beds. It was amazing.
Right, right. And, you know, they have found in many nursing homes today that if they have animals, the people get better. They don't need as much medication if they have resident animals.
Smiles. They had smiles on their faces. They were so excited.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, we did an episode, Rose, on a nursing home where people had dementia and Alzheimer's, and there was a shelter nearby that got in the spring like 80 or 90 kittens, newborns, orphans, and they had to be fed every couple of hours. And the people at the shelter were too busy to do this for so many kittens. So this guy who worked at the shelter had a brilliant idea: take the kittens over to the nursing home and let the patients feed them. And that's what they did. They brought all these kittens over to live in this nursing home while they were little. And the people were just, they just came alive feeding these little kittens with doll bottles filled with the milk. And it was so good for the kittens and for the people. It was just great, a brilliant solution.
It is. And so what would you say is the biggest benefit to having a dog for most people?
The biggest deficit?
No,
well,
the biggest benefit.
Oh, the biggest benefit. Well, as I said, you meet more people, you get a lot of love, you have a relationship, especially people who live alone. They don't have a lot of relationships that are that close. They may have a lot of friends, they may have some family, but this is someone who lives with you that you can talk to. And it's amazing how the animals respond when you talk to them. They appreciate that you're talking to them, even if they don't understand every word. They get the gist. They know you're paying attention to them. And it's a great feeling. You're helping them, and it's just such a good feeling to know that you have this positive effect on a little life who's totally dependent on you. It's just like having a baby. The baby is totally dependent on you. It's the same kind of thing. And people have had such close relationships with their animals, hence the animal cemetery. If they had such a good relationship and they don't want to just forget about the animal when he's gone, they might create a grave so that they have a place to visit him, just like people do with other people.
They do, and they have flowers everywhere.
Isn't that something? And
it is. It always amazes me.
Unconditional love. That's the main benefit.
Well, sometimes dogs treat people better than people.
Oh, isn't that the case? And they don't care if you're ugly or you're fat or you're not a great success. They love you anyway.
I know. I felt so bad. We were in Los Angeles, and I forgot what. We went to a specific place there, and we were walking downtown and everything, and near Santa Monica there. And and there was a lady. It was so sad. She had three She had them in a cart, three nice-looking dogs. Something must have happened in her life, and she was trying, you know, maybe she was evicted or something happened to her, but she was trying to get people to take her dogs for her and take care of them, and it was really sad, you know.
Oh,
and,
that's terrible.
Yeah, it was a really sad situation. So lots of things happen to people, you know, and they don't want to just leave their dogs behind. So she brought her dogs and was trying to find them, someone who would love them and take care of them. And,
I wish I had met her. I would have recommended a rescue group or the shelter. But she was trying to find the family for herself.
Yeah.
She was trying to find the dog, the family. Yeah.
Yeah, so also, though, does a dog help you, like, evaluate a potential date or mate? Because I've watched TV programs where they showed this one particular program where the dog, the lady was going to go out on a date, and the dog was so upset, did not like the guy at all. And then when he brought her home, he tried to become very aggressive. And so the police were saying that to pay attention to your dogs because they have an instinct about people.
That is so true. If a guy is considerate of his dog, if he talks to him, if he's gentle with him, and generally concerned with his well-being and feelings, he'll be that way with you too. If you see someone jerking his dog around or being too harsh, you know that's an insecure person who's got to exert his power over a helpless creature that's totally in his control. Forget about this guy. Same with a woman. I mean, if you see somebody overtraining or bossing the dog around or jerking him around or too controlling, I've seen people who don't give the dog an inch on the leash. They have them right next to them. They just don't let them have any freedom whatsoever. Even when there's no other dog around, that is a good indication that this person is trying to exert power. And you can tell a lot about that. Yesterday, my husband and I were sitting having a cup of coffee, and we saw a guy go into the coffee place and get a cup of water. He left the dog outside. I said, I bet he's just coming to get the dog water. And sure enough, that's what he did. And he talked to the dog, and I thought, now that's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. When I see somebody treating his dog well, I know that that person has good character. Nobody is around, and still he's behaving nicely. And guys who give up, or women who give up their morning on the weekend to go into the park and play with the dog, that's a very considerate person.
That's true, and nobody really thinks about that, so I'm glad you brought that up. We're speaking to Marian Zola, and she is the author of an award-winning book, and it's called Romancing the Dog. And so, Marian, why are so many dogs in shelters?
Well, all of them, almost all of them, are there because of the deficits of their humans, of the guardians they had before. A lot of people either couldn't be bothered with them, they don't want to take care of them anymore, or worse. There are dogs that, there was a New York Times reporter who sat in the shelter for a week or a few days and took notes on why people came in and left dogs or cats. And one woman actually said, well, he doesn't match my furniture. People say all kinds of insane things when they give up the dogs. Some people are moving out of state, and for some reason they don't want to take them, or moving out of the country. More often than not, they don't want to be bothered training the dog, and then if the dog does one thing they don't like or has an accident in the house, or jumps on people, or does anything the owner doesn't like, instead of bothering to correct it or to get some help in training him or read a good book on training him, they just bring him to the shelter. My own current dog was thrown into a field and left there by the owners.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't fixed at 10 years old. and had 13 tumors in her mammary glands. All indications that she was used for breeding. And when she was done having babies, they just threw her away. And the shelter, animal control picked her up and took her to the shelter. And they saw she was very sweet. And they called this rescue group, Peace of Mind, that I mentioned, and said, we have a nice dog here, but she needs some medical care, and we really can't afford it. Can you take her? She's 10 years old. Oh, they called the owners, by the way, because she had a microchip with the owner's name and information. And they said, oh, well, we're moving out of state, but we'll be down to get her. And, of course, they never came. So these are some of the reasons why people give up dogs. It turned out the tumors were benign. She was then fixed, and she's just a great dog. She's now 13, and she's terrific.
So what are the biggest benefits of adopting a shelter dog directly from them or from a rescue group who's taken them in?
Well, the greatest thing is the wonderful feeling that you've saved a life and will have a very grateful animal. Besides that, they've already been temperament tested. Both the shelters and the rescue groups get all the information they can on the dogs, and they do test them, and they know whether this is an appropriate dog for children or not, and especially if the owner is involved so that they can find out information from the owner. And they're temperament tested. They know what kind of a dog would do well in what kind of a situation. Whereas when you get a dog from a breeder, mainly they're just interested in the profit.
That's interesting.
If you're determined that you want a particular breed, of course, each breed does have its own rescue group. Boxer rescue, poodle rescue, all of them. And you can always get them from them, or you can go to petfinder.com and put in the information, and they will bring up all the animals that match your request in the area.
Oh, that's good to know. So tell us, what is a puppy mill? What does that mean?
Oh, a puppy mill is a horrible place, somewhere you never want to get a dog from. These dogs are kept in wire cages their entire lives, filthy, with no care, never feeling the ground under their feet, and having no contact with people unless they're forcibly bred. That's where pet stores get their dogs from. So if you buy a puppy from a pet store, you're supporting this horribly cruel industry. If you are determined to get a puppy of a particular breed and you absolutely won't be talked out of it, I would go to a legitimate breeder. You can get a list of breeders from the Humane Society or the American Kennel Club, and I would only get a dog from a breeder you have visited and see what their operation is. Make sure it's not somebody who's breeding 50 or 100 dogs, but it's just one or two or three dogs, and that you see their setup, you see what kind of care they're giving the animals, and you have this dog checked out with a vet. And then, if you still want that dog, then you can buy them. Why anybody would buy a dog when there's so many millions for adoption, I don't know.
So what's the biggest misconception about shelter dogs? What would you say?
The biggest misconception is that there's something wrong with them, when it's almost always it's their owners who are at fault. If there is a dog with an actual personality problem as a result of being abused or whatever, the shelters are very good about weeding them out. They're all tested by trainers, because they don't want the wrong dogs going to the wrong people and perhaps ending up in the shelter system again. They don't want that to happen. They make every effort to match the right dog with the right people.
Fantastic. Well, that's really a lot of information that you provided about shelters and adopting dogs and puppy mills and so much more that I don't think most people really realized or knew about. But now, so in your book, Romancing the Dog,
yes,
it says the struggle to make a pound dog happy in Beverly Hills. So that applies,
yes,
to not just Beverly Hills. It applies to anyone, anywhere, right?
Of course. Of course. And Rose, one more thing I want to say is that a lot of people are now buying dogs over the internet, which is the same problem as getting it from a pet store. You have no idea where these animals are from, and they have caught on to the fact that a lot of people don't want to buy dogs from puppy mills, so they try to be deceptive and cloak it in languages about, you know, purebred puppies for sale, that they've taken the greatest care, legitimate breeders or whatever. Don't get a dog unless you have gone to the breeder and see the setup if you're determined not to adopt and to buy a puppy. That's what I would recommend.
Fantastic. And so can you... it's your time to shine now, so you can give any other message you like about yourself, your books, and where they can find your books, and if you have a website, how they can check you out.
Sure. The book is on Amazon, of course, and can be ordered from bookstores, or they can get it from my website, romancingthedog.com, just by clicking on the title. And the order form will come up, but it has been a bestseller on Amazon and can be reached there very easily.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Mary and Zola, for all your wonderful information. And goodness, so much more success with Romancing the Dog and sending your message out to the world about, you know, how dogs can actually come into your life and be a part of your life and your family's life. And we really appreciate your work on that and working with the shelters and so forth. And thank you so much. And
thank you so
have
much,
a
Rose.
Great
I
Thanksgiving.
Really you too.
Oh,
thank you so
all
much
right.
for having me. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye. And Marian Zola has left the building, and you can find her books. Her first book was All the Good Ones Are Married, and all the single ladies can relate to that, which became a Lifetime movie. And her second book is Romancing the Dog, which is an Irwin Award winner, presented by the Book Publicists of Southern California for the Best Memoir of the Year. And you can find her books on Amazon.com or go to her website. So on that note, we're going to end the world of authors and experts until next Wednesday when we have another expert and author, or both, and of human interest. And then part two, we're going to talk about the issues of the day. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in just a moment. So stay tuned with Columbo Chronicles Live.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. We're back on Colombo Chronicles Live. We've just left the world of authors and experts with author Marianne Zola, award-winning author. You can find her books, Romancing the Dog, and her first book, All the Good Ones You Married, on Amazon.com. And now we're going to enter into the world of politics and issues of the day. And today's issue of the day, of course, it's on everybody's mind, is the impeachment hearings. Well, here's some breaking news that's rather shocking, and it's put out by WayneDupre.com. You can find it on the internet, and it says, report, Interfax, Ukrainian MPs demand Zelensky investigate suspicion of $7.4 billion U.S.-Ukraine corruption tied to the Obama administration. This is brand new news. It's breaking news. And what's interesting is because I've watched every day, I have watched the impeachment hearings, which most people don't. They find them boring. But I'm an advocate for justice and an activist for justice. I've proposed laws that have been implemented in California and nationally. And I've been on the front lines for a very long time, nearly three decades, and trying to protect women and children in the family law courts from having their children taken away from non-offending parents and so forth. So many, many things going on. So I am very interested in what the government is doing and words and what they're saying. One of the words they used yesterday when they were speaking to the witnesses was the word demand. And they asked if the president ever used that word demand or if they felt it was a favor or the word favor was the same as the word demand. Of course they're not. But they made this big deal out of those two words. So it's really based on opinions of the witnesses. But they should just look it up in the Webster's Dictionary, and they'll find the definition that is totally defined clearly for their clarification. And because the legal system should not use confusion to take a word and confuse the meaning and the definition of a word in the legal system, because it can change the whole dynamics of a case. So this article states, that is breaking news, there's a shocking new report that just came out on the well-respected Ukrainian site Interfax.com. It's right out of the Ukraine, and AP. The report claims that Ukrainian members of parliament have demanded the president of Ukraine and the United States investigate suspicions of the legalization of $7.4 billion, not million, billion like B, like boy, $7.4 billion by the family of ex-president Viktor Yanukovych through the American investment fund, Franklin Templeton Investments, which they said has ties, get this, to the United States Democratic Party. That is shocking. During a press conference at the Interfax Ukraine agency on Wednesday, MP Andriy Derkosh announced that deputies have received new materials from investigative journalists about international corruption and the participation of Ukrainian officials in it. Now, this is what President Trump was concerned about, the corruption that is rampant in the Ukraine. And the Ukraine is listed as the number three most corrupted country in the world. So before the money was released, it appears he was very concerned that our $1 billion in taxes wasn't going to be used for money laundering, bribes, and pay off prosecutors, or which they are known to do, or other corrupted companies.
Ukrainian members of parliament, again, demanded the presidents of Ukraine and the USA, Zelensky and Trump, investigate suspicions of legalization of $7.4 billion by the family of ex-President Viktor Yanukovych to the American investment fund Franklin Templeton Investments, which they said has ties to the U.S. Democratic Party. I want to make sure you got that. For his part, MP Oleksandr Dubinsky from the Servant of the People faction said that according to investigators, the Yanukovych family illegally obtained $7.4 billion and laundered the funds through an investment fund close to some representatives of the United States Democratic Party in the form of external government loan bonds. Meanwhile, Durkosh said that several facts indicate Franklin Templeton Investments' relationship with the U.S. Democratic Party. Durkosh also announced the amount of money transferred to representatives of Burisma Group, which has been brought up every day in the news and in the impeachment inquiries, as a corrupted oil and gas and energy company. So it says that Durkosh also announced the amount of money transferred to representatives of the Burisma Group, including Hunter Biden. According to documents in general, in favor of Hunter Biden, Alexander Kwasniewski, Alan Apter, and Devin Archer, Burisma paid about, get this, $16.5 million. According to Durkosh, ex-prosecutor general Viktor Shukin repeatedly appealed to the NABU director Artem Stinnik in the framework of criminal proceedings for Burisma, but constantly received formal responses. The activities of Shokin, according to the MP, irritated then United States Vice President Joe Biden during his fifth visit to Kiev in 2 years. The visit on December 7th through 8th, 2015, was devoted to solving the issue of Shokin's resignation for the affairs of Slavetsky and Burisma, he said. The subject of pressure was the $1 billion credit guarantee that the United States should have provided to Ukraine. Biden himself acknowledged the pressure in his speech to the United States Foreign Relations Council on video in January of 2018, Durkosh said. So this is very, very important news, and it is breaking news. And it is extremely serious. And it kind of changes the dynamic of what is actually happening in our that have a relationship to what is happening with the impeachment inquiries that the Democrats have brought against President Trump. So there's more breaking news, so you won't want to miss this, because this is by Gateway Pundit, and they're pretty accurate in their reporting. Breaking: Trump was right. Had a Burisma Holdings indicted in Ukraine. Claims Hunter Biden and partners paid $16.5 million. Like a soap opera. The claim alleges that Hunter Biden and his partners received $16.5 million for their services. It goes on to say, news memos released earlier this month reveal Burisma Holdings, Hunter Biden's Ukrainian natural gas company, pressured the Obama State Department to help end the corruption investigation during the 2016 election cycle. Did you hear that one? New memos released earlier this month reveal Burisma Holdings, Hunter Biden's Ukrainian natural gas and oil company, of which he sat on the board of directors, pressured the Obama State Department to help end the corruption investigation during the 2016 election cycle, just 1 month before then-Vice President Joe Biden forced Ukraine to fire Viktor Shokin, the prosecutor probing his son, Hunter. Joe Biden bragged about getting Viktor Shokin fired during a 2018 speech to the Council on Foreign Relations. The media immediately covered for Biden and said his targeting of Mr. Shokin was totally unrelated to the prosecutor's corruption investigation into Hunter Biden and Burisma Holdings. Burisma Holdings actually name-dropped Hunter Biden when requesting help from the State Department, which then was controlled by the Democrats. According to CD Media last week, former Ukrainian official Oleksandr Onyshenko said Hunter Biden was receiving off-the-books payments from Burisma in the millions. On Wednesday, the chief of Burisma Holdings was indicted in the Ukraine. And then there's a tweet by Henry Rogers. It says, House Intelligence Committee ranking member Devin Nunes and Jim Jordan sent a letter to Representative Adam Schiff asking Hunter Biden and the whistleblower to be subpoenaed to appear before the committee. So far, Adam Schiff has denied all their requests, so I don't think that one is going to come to fruition. But you can read this article on Gateway Pundit entitled Breaking, Trump Was Right, Head of Burisma Holdings Indicted in Ukraine, claims Hunter Biden and partners were paid $16.5 million through Burisma. And that isn't all. There's more. And so far, Facebook won't let me post any of these these articles on my Facebook page, which is not unusual for Facebook because that's what they do. So if you want to read any of these articles I posted on, it's called WeMe.com, WeMe, and you can follow me there. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Rose for Justice, Twitter at Rose for Justice, and that is the number 4. You can also read my blogs at roseforjustice.com. So anyway, it goes on to say, WashingtonExaminer.com, headlines. Alleged whistleblower Eric Chiramala shown shaking hands with Barack Obama in the Oval Office in this photo. And then they have a picture. Barack Obama and the so-called whistleblower shaking hands. A year after Ukraine official and alleged whistleblower Eric Chiramala left President Trump's White House, a picture of him shaking Barack Obama's hand was published on a close friend's wedding website. The Oval Office photograph, obtained by the Washington Examiner, is circulating among Trump allies who consider it evidence that the alleged whistleblower is biased against Trump and had partisan motivations when he filed on August 12th complaint that sparked impeachment proceedings. In the photograph, a smiling Chiramala, then Ukraine director on the National Security Council at the White House, is shown shaking Obama's hand. They are standing in front of a portrait of Abraham Lincoln,
by George Henry's story. Now, the allegations of this alleged whistleblower is that he is anti-Trump, that he is a registered Democrat, that he is a link to the CIA, the NSC, to Obama now, Biden, Schiff, Brennan, and his lawyer, attorney Laird, is quoted in 2017 saying something to the effect that the coup has begun in 2017 and that they will impeach President Trump immediately. And this is the so-called whistleblower's attorney. And the whistleblower is also in the news to be connected to, alleged to be connected to, George Soros, the billionaire who funds everything in the world. And he funded the prosecutors, he donated to the prosecutors in Virginia and probably some other states, which is interesting as well, to say the least. And the whistleblower is alleged to also be connected not only to George Soros, but to his Open Society. And he's alleged to have opened a GoFundMe account. And so far, it's alleged that there's about $250,000 in donations. So, who knows? So, the article goes on to say that a Republican close to the White House said the photo was evidence Ciaramella supported Obama, and his selection for the wedding website indicated he considered the Oval Office image a glamour shot. This photo confirms that career intelligence and foreign service officials serving at the highest ranks of the Trump White House have their own agenda and their own policy viewpoints, the Republican source said. The website for the September 2018 wedding of Matt Calabro, a Connecticut high school friend of Ciaramella, is now defunct. Of course, the two friends traveled through Central and Eastern Europe together in the summer of 2005, and Ciaramella was best man at Calabro's wedding in Newport, Rhode Island. An Obama photograph was prized by White House staff during his time in office. When aides departed the NSC, they were given the chance to have a photo with the president, according to former aides. Staff still at the council, when Obama left office, were given the chance to get a photograph. It appears this was the occasion for Ciaramella to secure his keepsake image. Trump discontinued the tradition of routinely posing with departing staff. This picture raises serious questions about how this sham impeachment process started, this article says, according to a senior Trump administration official. It's no surprise that House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff has now changed the story about letting the falsely labeled whistleblower testify. Ciaramella, 33, is a career CIA analyst who is now a deputy national intelligence officer for Russia and Eurasia. And I also heard he was Ukrainian-born as well. He's a deputy national intelligence officer for Russia and Eurasia on the National Intelligence Council under the Director of National Intelligence. From 2015, Ciaramella was the NSC's Ukraine director, the post currently occupied by Lieutenant Alexander Vindman. So all these people know each other, who has testified against Trump and with whom Ciaramella still has professional dealings. The Washington Post has suggested that Vindman spoke to the whistleblower about the July 25th telephone call between Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Early in the Trump administration, Ciaramella was briefly acting as an NSC Senior Director for European and Russian Affairs while still in the Ukraine as a director, before Fiona Hill took over. During recent congressional testimony, Hill was unable to recall Ciaramella's name.
Chiaramella was cited in a key passage of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report in connection with the meeting between Trump and Russian officials in the Oval Office the day after James Comey was fired as FBI director. And the whistleblower submitted a complaint to the Intelligence Community's Inspector General on August 12th that said, Trump pressed Zelensky during the July 25th phone call to investigate Biden and his son, Hunter. Well, he was not present on the phone call. He wasn't present during the phone call. He wasn't employed by the President of the United States, and he doesn't have firsthand information. What he has is he said, she said, they said, we said, and that is all hearsay, which would not be admitted in a court of law, but would be thrown out by a judge of the courtroom. And also, the lawyer would be reprimanded for allowing hearsay for a witness to testify based on hearsay unless there were maybe special circumstances that he got approval to do. But in general, hearsay is not allowed in a courtroom and is not considered firsthand experience. And under the whistleblower law, it states that you must be present, you must have firsthand experience, you must be present, you must be have firsthand knowledge and or be employed by the person who is committing the alleged act or alleged crime. And in this case, it all appears to be hearsay. He said, she said, they said, we said. It also appears to be opinions of what they thought they heard, because none of the witnesses seem to be in sync with each other about what they heard, who did happen to be present. And no one accused the President of the United States of bribery, extortion, quid pro quo, or any wrongdoing. So why we're having these hearings, because the President of the United States did not withhold the funds. He wanted to assure the American people that our $1 billion or more was not going to go to corrupted Burisma or to corrupted prosecutors or corrupted banks over there, because it is the number three corrupted country in the world. So he was performing his duty, and under the treaty that President Clinton signed, he made it legal for presidents of foreign nations to speak with the President of the United States and vice versa, and to discuss any American about for any reason. So there are treaties in place signed by President Clinton, especially in this particular case, and that allow the President of the United States to discuss this with foreign leaders of foreign nations, discuss whatever is a concern to him, or they can discuss what is a concern to them. And as Zelensky apparently was stated, he is concerned about corruption and wants to clean it up in the Ukraine. So in my opinion, as a longtime advocate for justice, I say every country needs to clean up the corruption for the sake of their citizens in every nation, and that should be a priority. So thank you, President Trump, for being concerned about our tax dollars and assuring us that they will not be going to corrupted banks, corrupted oil and gas companies in foreign nations, and to corrupted leaders. And on that note, we're running behind. I have to say, God bless you. God bless America. God bless the President of the United States. Keep us safe. And remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me. But together, we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you listen to Colombo
Chronicles Live.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.